Herbal medicine has been around for thousands of years, but do we have any scientific evidence to support its claims of efficacy? Dr. Robert Verkerk is Scientific Director of the Alliance for Natural Health International.
Let's understand that we're forced into this rather peculiar situation where we have to think about some of these traditional medicinal cultures as alternatives, when of course the real alternative is allopathic medicine that has really only been spawned after the Second World War. So we really only have a 50-year track record of really using drugs, many of which are actually related one way or another to natural products. But of course they have these all-important patents on them. And in many ways, when you look at this whole area, there is a fundamental battle going on between unpatented natural products and patented medicines. If you look at the unpatented products, there is a very, very complete database in the nutritional field. It amounts to hundreds of thousands of research papers in total. For example, Fairfield and Fletcher in 2002 researched all of the available evidence over the last 40 or so years for nutrients and published in the Journal of the American Medical Association a very interesting analysis that actually came to the conclusion that everyone should be taking vitamins and minerals if they're going to reduce their risk of chronic diseases. The problem we have at the moment really is that a particular discipline of science that's called risk assessment, which we are faced with in every facet of our lives, is now being applied to CAM. The problem is that it works on the precautionary principle. So even if you have lots of good stuff and good research appearing, if there are a number of negative papers, these have huge bias in the overall process. And of course, what is often ignored is that the experimental methodologies, for example, are completely inappropriate. In fact, in some cases, they're actually using studies that have been reported and widely accepted as being flawed. The Dalton and Dalton 1987 studies in the Lancet on B6 that are a major reason why the regulatory authorities want to limit us to 10 milligrams or less of B6 daily, when many of us can, of course, benefit from levels of at least 100 milligrams daily.
Whenever we do scientific research, whether it's for orthodox medicine or whether it's for CAM, we need to look at what the risks are so we can make an informed choice about what we're taking. We know what the risks are in orthodox medicine because they come out with lots of things that says these are the known side effects. What about, though, with CAM? Do we know what the risks are and are they as worrying?
Certainly when we look at important areas to view the potential for risks, such as adverse events report, hospital records, what we find is actually natural therapies and natural products consistently, depending on, you know, whether we're looking at New Zealand or United States or the UK, we consistently see that natural products used therapeutically are safer than foods. In fact, many more times safer than foods, and they are often hundreds or thousand times safer than conventional medicines. The issue we have at the moment is that risk assessment science based around the precautionary principle is giving a very, very skewed view on what is going on. And in fact, one of the very substantial areas that the Alliance for Natural Health is working on, and we are making proposals to the European Food Safety Authority now that is considering the development of risk-benefit assessment methodologies. We are now developing approaches that we believe will give, you know, much more valid data. I can give you an example. If we look at, say, vitamin D that is produced when we are exposed to sunlight, and of course many of us in the winter months in Northern Europe suffer very significant vitamin D deficiency. The difficulty is that the research shows in terms of benefit that we should be taking probably in the order of 2,000-4,000 international units of vitamin D on a daily basis. Now, because vitamin D exists in different forms, the form of vitamin D that you find in cheap supplements that are in supermarkets and pharmacies is vitamin D2, not the more natural form, vitamin D3. Vitamin D2 is more toxic. So what they're going to do is provide a maximum level that we are all forced to take that is based on vitamin D2, though most of us who want to take vitamin D, particularly in the winter months, want to take vitamin D3. The same applies with iron supplements. Those of us who don't want to get an adverse response in our stomachs like to take iron as a bisglycinate form, yet the maximum levels in the risk assessment methodologies that are being used for iron are based around the more toxic form of iron sulfate that is used by medical doctors, which of course at slightly higher doses does give you pretty disagreeable symptoms in the gut.
So why not test all versions, or at least test the safer version rather than the more toxic version?
Well, essentially, in order to reduce the total number of risk assessments, what the legislators have decided to do is to clump things neatly into groups, which in many cases makes little sense. So you put all your iron together, you put your vitamin D together, your forms of calcium and magnesium together. And of course, the risk assessment is done on using the precautionary principle, and the worst case scenario, it's based on people taking the most toxic form, and then we all have to suffer the consequences. If the research shows that if you are a smoker and the effect is going to be negative to smokers, the assumption is made that we're all smokers. They're basically using a worst case scenario situation to reduce the number of risk assessments, but of course what they have ignored is the benefits, and that's why the development of risk benefit assessment systems are so critical.
That's Dr. Robert Verkirk, Director of the Alliance for Natural Health International.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth, and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.